Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective, serving over 800 student athletes at Penn State and over 30 sports. We have with us Executive Director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Mike, great to have you on again, buddy.
Always great to be here, Jim. Appreciate you.
Fantastic. And hey, we've got a great topic to talk about. An absolutely huge weekend is coming up for you on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, so this is our big official visit weekend. This season, you'll hear coaches across the country talk about how June is just it's a crazy busy month between official visits all throughout every weekend, even some during the week. Plus, you have your camp season. Plus, you have your time with your players. So it's a jam for a lot of staffs to orchestrate and navigate, but you know, Penn State does a terrific job managing multiple things at one time and making sure that it's efficient from all areas. But yeah, so this weekend we'll kick off, you know, what we have is a commitment weekend, so a lot of the guys that are committed are going to be on this visit. So we're looking, you know, north of 20 people, just recruits plus their family members are going to be here. So you're looking well over 300 people visiting Penn State. So it's going to be a great weekend. In the past, I've loved this weekend because it's really kind of a reunion. You know, you're getting all these families that you've recruited for about 3-4 years. They've already made the decision and gone through it and said they're going to come to Penn State. So it's just really just like a family atmosphere. You know, we roll out the red carpet for them. Catherine Kennedy and the staff does a really good job setting this up with the logistics, making sure everything goes smoothly. But you get there with all these families and they talk about why they chose Penn State, and a lot of them, you know, aligned with each other, and they start creating these relationships that are going to be lifelong, you know. So it's really neat. And then you get peppered in there a couple guys that aren't committed yet. You know, they're still on the fence, but it's a pretty powerful message when you have, you know, 17, 18 other kids that are committed in their families, and you're all around them, and all they have to say is great things about Penn State. And it's really, you're kind of put in a position like, why wouldn't you come here after you're around all these people that have gone through the same process and are going to be coming to Penn State? So it's a really fun weekend. I love it. It's going to be a really good weekend.
What's fascinating to me is how the tone has to be so different from when the group is a group you're still trying to convince versus now it's, hey, we're on the same team now. This is a partnership. We're all in this together type atmosphere. It must change a completely different tone for this weekend.
Yeah, and you know what the challenge is too, because Coach Franklin really puts a lot of pressure on the staff to get these kids up here as much as possible, want them on campus. So by the time we reach this visit, they've been here a ton of times. We've rolled out the red carpet 100 times for them, and they've pretty much seen every video, every recruiting resource, everything that we've kind of thrown at them already. So it's challenging for the staff to also make sure that this is special for them, and it's individualized, and it's different than anything that they've gotten before. But it being an official visit, our ability to pay for the dinners and wine and dine them, that helps us, you know, make it different for them.
Now, I know we've talked about other official visits before, what it's like. Always talk about the peek behind the curtain. Tell me what the schedule looks like for the players, for their families in this kind of weekend when it's pretty much mostly commitments that are there.
Yeah, it's changed a little bit when you try to bring in, you know, recruits on Friday. They get in, you know, the evening, you do dinner, and then, you have a certain amount of time that you're allowed with these guys. So you go all the way up till Sunday. But now a lot of schools and Penn State, they'll bring in those recruits on Thursday. They won't have any contact with them. So it doesn't start their clock when they get here. But when they do get here, they get here Thursday, they get a good night's sleep, and then we're starting from the morning on. And you're knocking out a lot of different things, from academics to, you know, everything, a lot of the meetings stuff. And then you really kind of want to make it, you know, relax. You want some relaxing things that you can do with them too. So there's a number of things that we do with them. The dinners, you know, the, you know, when the weather's nice, take them to a pool. That's pretty cool. Organic setting for them to hang out and get to know each other. So yeah, it's a little bit of a different weekend, but you know, it's not the first time that that we're doing it. So it's just making sure that everything goes smooth and efficient, and should be a good weekend.
So you talked about an event like a swimming event, and they get to interact with each other. How much then time is spent with all of them together with group activities versus them taking off separately, maybe for with academic advisors, maybe it's time with their parents, with a position coach, versus all of them together? How does that happen?
Yeah, it's all configured and structured before they get here. So we know, you know, if player X needs, a business advisor, all right, we know that we need to set time for him to see an advisor, and we build that in the overall schedule. But they'll have times when they're with the advisors, TK, and the academic program, and then they'll do like an overarching summary of what they do, an introduction. Because, again, this isn't the first time that they're meeting them, for most of them, if not all of them. And they'll just go through that. The tours, then there's lunch. And then you'll get some downtime in the afternoon, and then we'll bring them back for dinner. And then usually at dinner, after dinner, they split up and they'll go with the hosts, the player hosts. And they'll go out with them, hang out with them for the night. And then the parents will do a social somewhere at a restaurant, have drinks, have dinner with the coaches. So, yeah, you squeeze all of this in 48 hours.
It must be an interesting conversation with the parents. You mentioned on a previous show, it's different. It's not like you need to convince the parents anymore. You now know the parents.
Yeah.
So when you have that, is it that dinner with the families? Is it everyone, all the families together? I imagine that's, if you're having over 20 players there, you must have about 100 family members.
Yeah, and it's tough. You know, when you start looking into the, like, details of this, and you're trying to, like, make it work, you start realizing, man, all right, I got to feed all these people. I got to make sure we have a caterer or restaurant that has the ability to do this. Because the worst thing that you do is you go to a restaurant or somebody or somewhere, and they're not able to do it. You know, they want to, but they're not able to bring it out in a timely fashion. So you don't want to be there waiting for your salad, waiting for your main course and dessert. You know, you want it to go smoothly. And so working with somebody in the community that is able to make it work is really important. More than likely, a lot of times we rent out restaurant spaces. So it's just all dedicated to, you know, us. So we're able to make sure that, or at least help with it being an efficient meal.
Then I imagine there's a point where James Franklin in that dinner with the family would address the entire group. And we all know how good James is in front of an audience. What's typically the theme of that that talk from James Franklin?
I think it's just appreciation, being grateful for these parents believing in Coach Franklin and Penn State and that staff. Again, it's like kind of a reunion vibe. You know, just a lot of appreciation and people being thankful for where they're at. And you know, the commitment and the future of these guys. It's you know, I think that's pretty much the overall message. And it's the guys that are committed and their families, they're recruiting those other uncommitted players that are there as well. Coach Franklin also is a little different than a lot of other coaches in the country, where he's probably more visible on these visits than most. You know, he does a presentation with them, you know, at some point in the visit, he'll be at all the meals more than likely. You know, he has sit down meetings with them and the position coaches and area coaches. So it's just, you know, it's reaffirming, you know, who he is, and it just, it ends up being a really good week.
I'm not surprised to hear that about James. I think what I'm more surprised about is when you say he's so much more present than perhaps coaches at other schools in this environment. I would think that the opportunity to get in front of all the commits' families, it's so the head coach, I mean, he's the figurehead, he's the face of the franchise. I would think he would want as much time in front of this group as possible in this kind of setting where you control it, meaning Penn State controls it. I'm not surprised about James being in the forefront. I'm more surprised that other coaches are not so up front.
Yeah. But until you really are in the building and you're around a program, you really don't realize how much is on these guys' plates. The head coaches, you know, they're like politicians, probably busier than a politician. So they have a ton of things that are coming at them. So some coaches around the country, they prioritize recruiting a little differently. So, you know, day to day, they may recruiting may be, you know, down on the priority list. So they may not hit it like Coach Franklin's, but recruiting is always a priority for Coach Franklin and the staff. So he's always going to be around and make it a priority.
Well, it always feels like James Franklin is so relationship oriented that could often be a difference maker when he is recruiting.
Yeah. I mean, everybody that knows Coach, he's very relationship oriented, and he's hired a staff that is, you know, like-minded like him. It's all about relationships, even in the times of NIL and portal. We'll never lose that sight and that aspect of the program.
Very good, Mike. All right, we're coming up to the end of this first quarter. When we come back, I want to talk to you about some of the individual players that are going to be there. It's a good recruiting class. It really is. Yeah, and the more I look at it, the more I'm saying, wow, you know, a lot of players here that I'm interested in seeing and talking about. And I know you have an individual relationship with some of these players. We're going to dive into that. We're going to do all that when we come back right after this break. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective, serving over 800 student-athletes in more than 30 sports at Penn State. Mike, before we get back into this official visit week and some of the visitors, got a big event coming up in a couple weeks in Pittsburgh with Happy Valley United.
Yeah, we do. We are in Pittsburgh. You know, our focus is obviously the Pittsburgh region, Penn State fans and alum around that area, trying to get them together. And we set this date around the U.S. Open. You know, a lot of people are going to be excited about that in the area. So we set June 11th. If you want to, if you're interested, you can go to our happyvalley.com, happyvalleyunited.com, and sign up and register for that. Love to see all as many Penn State fans there. It should be a really good event.
I know you had the We Are in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago. A great event there. hopefully in Pittsburgh it will be this same kind of turnout. Hey, we're talking about this official visit weekend, which has a lot of the already committed players for the class of 26. Before we get into the individual players, just another question. Is there ever a point during the weekend where they pick up a football and throw it around or work out at all?
No, because they technically they're not allowed to.
Oh, okay.
Do that. It'd be, I think it's from a compliance standpoint, it'd be like a tryout.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, they can't do that on during a visit.
Okay, understood. I'm sure they find a way to entertain themselves, and young competitive people, I'm sure they hit a basketball court or something like that.
Oh, yeah. In our players' lounge, you know, there's Papa Shot. We have a golf simulator. We have all the video games there so they can jump on the sticks. You got ping pong, you got pool, you got shuffleboard, and those guys get pretty heated when they're in there and they're starting to compete against each other.
What I'm learning from the players, I got a feeling the golf simulator will be very busy.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I'll bet it is. All right, hey, let's take a look at some of the players that are going to be there. These are members of the class of 26 that are already committed. The typical place to begin, Mike, is at the quarterback position. Two quarterbacks in this class, which is a little bit unusual. It's Peyton Falzone, a fairly recent get. He's out of Pennsylvania, out of Nazareth High School. That's in the Allentown, Bethlehem area over there. And the other quarterback, Troy Hunn, he's from California. So we got both coasts covered with this. Tell us a little bit about those two guys, what that relationship is between them, and just the fact that there's two of them coming into this class.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're lucky to have two really good quarterbacks in this class. You know, Troy was one, you know, he jumped on board first, really talented, and now he's going through the camp cycles, the lead 11s and stuff like that. So you're going to see him more visible, and you're probably going to see him, you know, his rankings continue to go up because he's showing out at these events. And, you know, the more you see him, the more excited Penn State fans are going to be about him. Got to meet him on one of his visits and his family. He's sharp, great. He's a big kid. He's going to be really big once he goes through a year of strength and conditioning and the nutrition program. But really liked him. Really excited about him. And then, you know, you got Peyton, who has a little bit of a different skill set. We weren't sure exactly what he was going to be. Could he be a quarterback? Could be a tight end? You know, I think a lot of schools are trying to figure that out. And, you know, he's developed, you know, his skill set from a quarterback standpoint, and really happy where he's at right now. You know, he's trained with the same trainer Drew had and Gronk. So having the ability to rely on somebody that we trust is really big. So we're excited about both of them. Both are, you know, they, after coming here, they're Penn State guys. It's going to be exciting to see how those guys evolve and how they fit in that room.
Well, it's also interesting. We've been talking the last couple of weeks, Mike, about so many of these recruits, the length of the recruits. And these two guys fit that. They're both like what, 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah, they're long. Yeah, they're long. And I don't know off the top of my head, but Peyton seems he's a little bit lighter right now, but you can tell he has a great frame that he's going to be able to put on some good weight. Troy, he's already a big, thick kid. So he's going to be able to put on some weight too, but, yeah, they're long, big guys.
Well, also you mentioned, you know, Peyton was looked at by several people as initially as a tight end type. Well, when I looked him up, he was listed at 200 pounds. You know, if he was looked at as a tight end, that this is a kid who's capable of carrying a lot more weight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, he's got a tall, not wiry, but you can just tell he's got a ton of room for development on that frame that he has already. But Yeah, that, and I think that kind of made it a little bit harder when coaches initially were evaluating him because you don't know what he was going to be. But now, you know, he's developed at the quarterback position. His tape proves it. He's a winner. He's an in-state player. So, yeah, we're really excited about him and Troy.
That's a lot to be excited about, having both the quarterbacks there. And also, kind of following up on some of our other conversations over the last couple of weeks, how important it is to get the Pennsylvania kids, keep the best players at home, especially going to some of the big schools. We were talking about getting to St. Joe's Prep, to LaSalle University or LaSalle College High School, yeah, where Joey O'Brien is. Another great program in Pennsylvania is Harrisburg High School. Mm-hmm. And a couple players there, real good players. There's running back Messiah Minkins and offensive tackle Kevin Brown. And, you know, I mentioned Joey O'Brien. We talked about him the other week. I think I referred to him as, you know, the best player in the state. Well, he may not be, because it may be Kevin Brown. And yeah. I know, and you have a prior relationship with his family also, don't you?
Yeah. It was really neat coming in to Penn State again and then looking at the class and seeing Kevin Brown. I played with his dad at West Virginia University. And funny story, quick.
Go ahead.
My first play was a redshirt freshman. I was a tight end at the time, and I was a redshirt freshman. And I was, like, on some goal line packages. And so I go in there, and his dad now is probably the scariest tackle that I've seen. meanest player I've ever been around. And I'm not kidding. And that's from my playing days to coaching to being around in my role now. He's the meanest player I've ever seen in my life. And so I was a little, you know, intimidated by him. And I go in the huddle, and he basically said, "Mike, don't screw this up," in probably a different way that I can't say on radio. But I got a pancake, so I felt good about it. And I saw him a couple weeks ago when he was visiting, and we were chopping it up and talking about it. It was good times. So yeah, but his son is a freak, really, again, a really good job with the staff identifying him early. Obviously, in state Harrisburg, we're going to know about players early, but another good evaluation on him, trusting the process with him, because he's going to be a big time player, and already is in the rankings or whatever. But he is a freak.
Well, we love that. Well, first of all, what was his father's name?
I'm drawing a blank. It's not Kevin. I always want to call him Kevin. I forget.
Kevin's dad, we'll call him.
Yeah.
You know, that is funny to hear. It also probably, you know, makes you feel old that you played with his dad and here's his son coming in to play.
Yeah.
And
Tim. You know, that's his name.
Okay. So, you know, does Tim still look scary, I guess, is my question.
He's scary. He's a little scary to me just because I know how crazy he was. But he's like, he trimmed down. You know, he had a cup of coffee in the NFL, but he's trimmed down now. I think mom's a power lifter. She's awesome.
Oh wow. That's some pretty good genes then that he's inheriting.
Oh yeah.
And then the other player I mentioned from Harrisburg is the running back, Messiah Minkins.
Yeah. It's an area where we're always going to be tapped into, and players like Messiah and Kevin, it's year in, year out. There's always going to be players like that. So Messiah, obviously a top in-state player, national guy, like most of these guys that we're talking about, but you know, he shut down his recruitment a couple months ago. You know, probably still going to have people come after him, but, you know, we feel good about where we're at with Messiah, and he's going to be a guy that, you know, obviously Penn State fans are going to be well aware of, but should be excited about, because he could come in early and contribute.
Well, that's also, and we talk about this on the show quite a bit, how certain positions, just there's a inertia to it. You know, it's going well. You recruit well in the past. You have current running back is just one of those positions. There's such a great history at Penn State. You have Saquon in the NFL doing crazy things and representing Penn State. You have the best running back tandem in the country right now, and including in a Nick Singleton, who's kind of from that same area, the Harrisburg area, that it's like a natural. A Messiah Minkins must look at this and just say, why would I want to go anywhere else?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, when you look at, and I think we talked about this too, like when Coach is probably sitting in front of these guys, these Pennsylvania guys specifically, he can roll out a lot of names about guys that could have gone elsewhere out of state, but they stayed in state and they trusted Coach Franklin and Penn State in the program. And they left here with a degree, if not 2 degrees, and in a good position to be in the NFL, which a lot of them are in the NFL now. Coach Franklin has in his office was just sweet. His renovated office has all the jerseys of the players that he's coached that are in the NFL. And it takes up the whole wall. It's really cool to see that because a lot of that had started, you know, when I was here in 2015, the first thing. So it's to see it evolve and just the number of players that Coach has put in the NFL now is it's pretty impressive.
Well, I'm guessing there isn't much wall space left. We see this a decade of players. Okay, Mike, that's it for quarter two. Well, fortunately, we got a boatload of players to talk about. We're going to keep doing this when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, serving over 800 student athletes at Penn State. It's a big job, but with us is Executive Director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Mike, a huge weekend coming up. So many of the Class of 26 commitments are going to be there, plus a few players that are not committed. We're going to get to them in a little bit. But one of the themes that we've been talking about is keeping the best players at home, keeping the Pennsylvania players here, especially the best of them. And I was looking for the class at the class of 26, and at least based on one ranking, Penn State has commitments from 4 of the top 6 players in Pennsylvania, and one that's not committed yet is Joey O'Brien, who we talked about him last week. He's a big target for Penn State, one that Penn State really wants to reel in, correct?
Yeah, big time. You know, like we talked about him and his skill set, it's elite. And he's got like an avatar looking body. He's tall, long, but athletic. A lot of times when you get these really tall, lanky guys and wiry guys, they're kind of clumsy. You know, it's tough. You know, seeing finding a guy like that with his athleticism and his skill set, he's definitely a must get for us.
That an exciting player, and what I love about him is just this idea, the thought, the conversation has been had. He's listed as a safety, but he's a guy who could also suit up on the other side of the ball too, right, Mike?
Yeah, he could be dangerous at a lot of different positions. And that's what makes him so valuable too, his versatility and what he could potentially bring, you know, to a defense or to just the roster in general.
And in keeping with this conversation of long players, he's about 6'4"-ish, I believe.
Yeah, all of 6'4".
Yeah, so that's great. Let's talk about a couple other Pennsylvania players who are going to be there this week, highly regarded. And there's two Western PA players, David Davis, Matt Sigg, also both safeties, both highly regarded, both Pennsylvania kids. And we talked earlier about the event in Pittsburgh. These are Western PA guys.
Yeah, the Western PA guys. When I was here from 15 to 17, you know, we didn't have our claws in the state like we do, obviously, right? Just naturally over time and being consistent with what Coach Franklin does, you know, you're going to get better in the state. But at 2015, you know, we're still kind of fighting Pitt on some guys. You know, we were fighting some other schools potentially. Whereas now it's really not that much of a fight, but credit to, you know, Coach Franklin and Terry Smith specifically has that area. And he's just done a really good job, you know, going back to his Gateway days. You know, he has a great reputation in that area, played at Penn State. So it's pretty natural for him to recruit that area and do a really good job. And to where we're at right now, we're pulling the best kids out of that area.
Okay. And Mike, this is just between you and I. Just say to me, it's only my ears on this. Pitt is now totally irrelevant, right? They don't matter. Irrelevant.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. It's just, it always, to me, you know, somebody that goes to Pitt versus going to Penn State, those kids are just looking for something different because they're two totally different colleges, right? One's in a city, you know, one's not, you know, both totally different histories and whatnot. But yeah, obviously we're going to be a little bit biased, but yeah, if it's up to, you know, us or Penn State, you know, it's a no brainer.
You know, that's my attempt. That was my attempt to get you in trouble there, Mike.
So yeah.
Anything I could start up against Pitt, I'm going to see.
Arduzzi, he's a interesting guy. You know, he's from Youngstown, where I'm from. Went to Ursuline High School, I believe. But just a, you know, rugged, you know, throwback guy. He fits Pittsburgh. He just seems like a Pittsburgh guy.
He does. And I'll tell you what, over the years of doing this show, now I'm one of those, and I'm getting off on a tangent here. I wish Penn State played Pitt every season. My feeling is, if you've been a longtime Penn State fan, the rivalry goes all the way back. It's, you know, just, and Pat Narduzzi, he feeds the rivalry. I mean, he's not afraid to say things, which I love that. He loves to throw it down, doesn't he?
Yeah, he pokes the bear for sure. And me being a Virginia Tech the last 3 years, you know, being in the ACC, you know, so he's still kind of very familiar with his antics. But I remember it was pretty annoying, you know, in 2015, in those first couple of years I was here, just because, I mean, they had some traction in that area. And he would always poke the bear. He'd tweet, you know, something just to poke at us. But I think we've gone over that hump with him.
I think so also. And just the last Pat Narduzzi note, you did go to West Virginia. So you were part of, what's it called, the Backyard Brawl, West Virginia Pitt during your days?
Yeah, never liked Pitt. No matter where I've gone, like Virginia Tech, we hated Pitt. West Virginia, absolutely hated Pitt. And obviously here, we didn't like Pitt either. So, yeah, I guess I've been wired to not like Pitt. And, you know, they recruited me pretty hard when coming out of high school too, because, you know, they're like 30 minutes away from Youngstown, 45 minutes. But, yeah, those backyard brawls were awesome. And then that year that we beat, it was not 16, I think it was 2017, when we played them here at home, we just absolutely blew them out of the water. That was when I think you had that famous Marcus Allen standing over the Pitt player doing his famous like pose. It was pretty cool.
Well, for us old guys, what we always we love 48-14, just those numbers. And I don't was before your time. When I was a kid, Dan Marino was at Pitt, they got up against Penn State 14-0. Marino was incredible. Just marched them down the field twice. Penn State answered with the next 48 points.
Yeah, I remember that's a great story.
If you ever talk to an old Penn State fan, all you got to do is put out those numbers, 48-14. They'll know what you're talking about. And I just got to tell you this. Our listeners are going to appreciate, Mike, the fact that you go, when I coached at Virginia Tech, hated Pitt. Played at West Virginia, hated Pitt. Penn State, hate Pitt.
Yeah, you can't get rid of them. I'm a Browns fan, so like I just Pittsburgh, and I like Pittsburgh. My wife worked there for a little bit. I don't mind it, but yeah, it's just always a pain in my ass, a pain in my butt. But yeah, you know what? I think Penn State, Notre Dame, and Pitt should always play every year.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. I wish you were in charge of scheduling as a Penn State fan. And I know a lot of Penn State fans say we should never play Pitt because you can't win. You know, you're supposed to win. There's nothing to gain and everything to lose. But I want the games that I care about as a fan.
Yeah, heck yeah.
You care about beating Pitt. You care about beating Notre Dame. I, you know, obviously didn't like the result, but getting a chance to play Notre Dame in the playoffs, that was pretty cool. And especially for us old guys who remember, you know, playing Notre Dame most every year and the rivalry. And I mean, that's the stuff that makes college football.
Yeah. Isn't it the region too? Have a lot to do with it. Like me growing up in Youngstown, Ohio, that area, you know, you probably would think, you know, somebody outside would probably think, oh, it's a huge Ohio State region, right? Sure, yeah, you have Ohio State fans, but there's a ton of, like, Irish Catholic people that love Notre Dame. I grew up hating Notre Dame, so, like, I never liked Notre Dame. And then there's also a huge Penn State contingency in the Youngstown area. So, like, when you see these, you have all these family members, you get together, you talk crap, but then it only helps when these teams are playing each other. So you can talk more crap to them, you know, and it gets everybody fired up in the region about the matchups. But yeah, I would love that if those teams played each other every year.
Well, yes. And we have here where I am in Northeast PA, it is mostly Penn State, but there's a good contingent of Notre Dame fans. It's probably second only to Penn State and in some pockets. So, yes, I still deal with that with my friends. I see the Notre Dame hats and shirts and So I'll give you my last going into the Wayback Time Machine story about Notre Dame, okay?
Yeah.
I was 6 years old. Okay, you could go back and look this up. In 1966, ancient history, Michigan State and Notre Dame were probably the two best teams in the country. And they played. And back then, there was no overtime. There were actual ties. And late in the game, Notre Dame gets the ball back with the score tied 10-10. And Notre Dame played for a tie, Mike. They played for a tie. I was 6 years old, and I understood you don't do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's what started your hate for Notre Dame. That's fair.
That was it. I was 6 years old watching. Come on, try to win the game. And they did. You just don't do that. You don't play for a tie. This is football. It's competition. It's competitive. And this was, again, you know, this was a game of the century kind of deal, which they have game of the centuries every couple of years, but that was one of them. And that turned me off of Notre Dame even when I was a little guy, Mike. It didn't matter how many Notre Dame people were around.
That's awesome.
So anyway, some people would say that kind of attitude may have something to do with my personality, even as a six-year-old, but just it is what it is. All right. Instead of me asking you a question and then cutting you off as we're coming to the end of the our third quarter. When we come back, there were four players coming in this weekend who are uncommitted. I'd like to talk to you about them, Mike, because they're in an interesting position. As you said, they're going to be surrounded by players and their families who are all committed to Penn State. We're going to talk about them when we come back after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective for Penn State, serving over 800 student-athletes at Penn State and over 30 sports. And, you know, it's funny. I often get this question from listeners when I meet them in person, and I get asked, what do we talk about in between segments? You and I, literally, we talked about Newt Rockne between segments.
That's right. Yeah, I was telling Jim, my grandpa, I'm not a Notre Dame fan. I never have been, but my grandpa, who I was really close to, was a huge Newt Rockne fan.
And if there's young folks here who don't know who Newt Rockne is, pick up a book, figure it out. Go on, yeah. Look him up. Please, please understand the history that Newt Rockne was part of. All right, let's move on, Mike. We're talking about this coming weekend, which is an official visit weekend. But it's most all of the players that are coming in, there's going to be over 20 of them coming in. They are players that are already committed to Penn State. As you call it, it's almost like a family reunion. These are players and families that you've seen over and over again. But there's a handful of players. I have listed four of them who are coming in that are uncommitted. First of all, is that number? I know things could always change until they get there, but it looks like four players, right?
Yeah.
Let's take a look at them, because there's a couple of linebackers and a couple of offensive linemen. Let's start with the linebackers. We start with Rodney Colton, who's a four-star linebacker out of Georgia. Now, it's got to be interesting for a guy coming in from Georgia. He's all of a sudden going to be surrounded by all these Pennsylvania guys and Penn State commits. What do we know about Rodney Colton?
Yeah, I mean, really exciting player that we're having on this weekend. And, you know, some of these players, they have options, right? They have options to go to all these different schools. So they have to decide which weekend they're going to what school. Okay, so this weekend we want all their commitments here, but we also want guys that we really want because we want them around our commitments, because that's our biggest recruiting tool, right? Like but at this point, you know, he's seen all the things that Penn State has to offer. He's seen all the facilities, the renovations, the coaching staff, the resources, everything. But now he's going to be able to, him and his family and his guests are going to be able to talk to these other families that are committed and went through the same process. And it's going to really kind of help them make a decision coming to Penn State, hopefully. But having the parents there that had to go through the exact same decision-making process that they're going through, and to have them there as a resource and ask them, hey, why did you and your son and your family commit to Penn State? What made you pick Penn State? Or even if it's a linebacker, he can go to one of the linebacker commits and their family and say, well, hey, why did you pick Penn State? And it could be something different for that family, because they maybe prioritize something different, whether maybe it's an academic or a major, or maybe it's the defensive scheme or something like that. Or maybe it's a recruiter that was just awesome and they hit it off. Or maybe it's just Coach Franklin and his leadership and his, you know, his ability to connect with these parents and the families during the recruiting process? You know, those are the questions that you're going to be able to ask these other 17, 18 kids that have made the decision that they're trying to make right now. So it's a huge, great opportunity for us to really kind of hit home with the guys that are uncommitted on these visits.
Oh, and I got to believe also the families would be a great influence. Sometimes, you know, a 17-year-old or 18-year-old, obviously peer-to-peer, they could be pretty convincing. But I think there's got to be also a lot of family-to-family conversations also.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And that's what I was saying. You know, I'm trying to get at is that you have these people, these families, these parents as a resource to ask them. Why do they choose Penn State? And they'll be very candid about it. I've seen it in person, and it's very powerful when you get an uncommitted parent asking a committed parent why they chose Penn State. And they're going to usually leave with a hard time not committing to Penn State based off of all the answers that they get to their questions.
And I recall, and I don't know, was Caden Wallace here at all during your first go round? That was probably after you.
He was right as I was leaving that last year, that cycle, that recruiting cycle coming up. That's the cycle that I had left. So I was kind of on the very forefront of his recruitment.
I don't know if you had seen, there was a video of Coach Franklin speaking to the families at one point, and Caden Wallace's dad did a video of it and released it. It sort of went viral, but we brought Caden Wallace's dad on our show. We interviewed him.
Yeah.
Okay, just a piece of advice. If you get a chance, hire him as a recruiter.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. So you get some of these committed parents, right? And on these official visits, you know, I took it with me when I left Penn State the first round. You get these big official visit weekends, and you ask the commits, you sit them down in front of the camera and you talk to them and say, hey, why did you pick Penn State? And you get the parents and the families on there. And a lot of times it's pretty cool to see what they say. And a lot of times it gets emotional. Some parents will start crying. And so we'll film that. We'll get that on film, and then we'll put all of them together. And then, you know, we'll show our recruits in the next class that video, why they chose Penn State. And it's freaking powerful. When you have them and you have the parents, and you know, maybe that kid is like killing it now, right?
Yeah.
And he's a freshman or whatever. And these families are seeing that and seeing that kid's family tear up why they chose Penn State. It's pretty neat. It's really neat. It's a powerful recruiting tool.
Oh, that's fantastic stuff. And it's great to see when the families, not just up front when their son is being recruited, but a couple of years into it, and there's still that same passion for Penn State, and they when they see what the university has done for their son.
It's really cool. It's really neat seeing game days, those classes, and seeing like going by like the parent tailgate or seeing them at the game at some point. It's really neat seeing them. You know, I saw Clifford's dad and mom the first time I was back, and it was just like I was just talking to him yesterday. You know, it's just you get so close to these families, and it makes it really special when you see their son actually do what we said. You know, they developed, they're getting degrees, they're having opportunities at NFL. You know, it's cool to see it when you can see like the parents are happy. You know, they're loving they're loving being at the tailgate. They love the people that are around. It's really neat.
Well, it is impressive. And I, you know, doing what I do and getting to interact with you and some of the other opportunities that have opened up to me, I've gotten to meet some of the families. Like I mentioned, you know, Caden Wallace's dad, Nick Singleton's dad, Drew Aller's dad was just a wonderful guy to chat with. He was great. And you kind of like, it's one of those things, again, as a Penn State alum, you don't just want to be brag about your school winning a national championship. You also want to brag about your school doing it the right way. And, you know, hearing from these families, you realize that that is typically the case. Let's get back to these players. The other linebacker coming in, and I hope I don't crucify his name, Kosi Akpala. He's another one from out of state, from Texas. He's a linebacker who I guess could also play edge, defensive end type. What do we know about him and coming in from Texas?
Yeah, dynamic player, obviously a premium position. You know how I talk about offensive linemen and defensive linemen. You know, anytime you can get a special player like that that's going to upgrade your roster, you go full go. And even though he's at Texas, you know, we've done a decent job nationally. So, you know, we're at a point where we can bring in these guys. And, you know, like I just said, he's going to be around a bunch of commits. So he's going to hear all the good things, why Penn State was, you know, why they chose Penn State. So when he comes in here, and the fact that these two guys that you just mentioned are linebackers, they're going to be able to sit down with Dan Connor. Dan's doing an excellent job at recruiting right now. But it's pretty easy and natural for him, you know, him playing the game, him being he's got the NFL IQ, the experience. So, and he's younger. So these guys coming in, they're going to be able to relate with Dan. And that's just icing on the cake. You know, when you bring in the facilities development, especially recent years with the linebacker production, you know, it's going to be a good visit for these guys.
I think so too. And speaking of the position, only leaving you about a minute and a half, a couple offensive linemen, Marlon Bright from New Jersey, Marky Wallbridge, he's from Massachusetts, and Phil Trout, he's done such a great job developing that position room. That's, again, become another one of those positions where, hey, just look at the history.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is like we're recruiting a certain body type, too. You look at Marlon, he looks like a power forward kind of. You know, just like a really good looking athletic guy that, you know, he's not that 330 pounds right now, but you can tell he's got the frame that he's going to be a great looking kid after 1 or 2 years in the weight room and nutrition plan. Kind of like you've seen with like Owen Alessini, you know, he's starting to fill in, Egan Boyer, kind of like that, starting to fill in, develop. It's better developing those guys. And I think that's the type of guys Phil likes to bring in and then develop and add weight, you know, the smart way, the good way, while developing his skill set, is really been kind of the route that coach has been going after.
Well, and the, as you mentioned, the part of it is, okay, now here's Exhibit A, Exhibit B. This is maybe the best offensive line in the country going into this season, Mike. That's nice to talk about when you're recruiting offensive linemen.
Yeah, I mean, you can, because again, like, it's a premium position and you have to develop or you're going to be going to the portal and you're going to have a room full of portal guys that haven't developed together. They don't have the rapport together. It's just a completely different monster than the other positions when it comes to recruiting. So bringing in these guys, getting them in here, young, talented guys, and to actually develop them is huge. And Coach Trout has been doing a phenomenal job. And that's the reason why we have one of the best lines right now.
He really has. All right. Always it goes too fast, Mike. Thank you. Thank all of you for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.